My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Let me lead us in prayer before we think about those words. Our Father in heaven, those words are challenging words. Please, by your Spirit, be at work as we think about them this morning, we pray, that you might get the glory that you deserve as we become more like Jesus in character. Amen. God has revealed himself in the Bible, which consists of Old and New Testaments alone. Every word was inspired by God through human authors, so that the Bible is in its entirety the Word of God, without error, and fully reliable in fact and doctrine. The Bible alone speaks with final authority and is always sufficient for all matters of belief and practice. I don't know if you realise that you walk past those words every single time you walk into church. There's a poster in the foyer which has the kind of FIEC statement of faith. And that is one of those statements. If you're a church member here this morning, you have publicly stated that you agree with those words. One thing that is indisputable about us as a church is that we are Bible people, right? We are convinced that this book is without error, is fully reliable, is the final authority on all matters of faith and practice. It is always sufficient. And so, that is why we as a church leadership want to get the Bible open as much as we can. It's why on Sundays we have a time where we have God's word read and we hear a sermon from it. It's why the songs we pick to sing are songs that are based on these words or themes that come out of these words. It's why our Sunday school and our youth group are not just about babysitting or entertainment for kids. They are about raising them in these words. It's why one key part of what we do as we gather as home groups is open these words. It's why our prayer meetings, before we speak to God, we hear from him. It's why even in our church members' meetings, those most business-like of meetings, we start by hearing from God. Because this word is all we need. Fully sufficient, our final authority. We are Bible people. And that is a really good thing because of what this book is. This is a book that we need to hear from because this book shows us Christ. This book helps us to change to be like Christ, to know how to live his way. But This book is not an end in itself. It is a means to the end. Because what James warns us this morning is that listening to this word is not enough. We have to act on what we hear. That's James's concern that he sets out before us. Before us, he lays two different responses to the word. He says, which one are you going to choose? This word is the word that has been planted in us already, if you're a believer here this morning. Look down at verse 21. James says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you. The word planted in you. Last time we saw in verse 18 that we are given birth by this word of truth. And James wants us to know that it isn't that God kind of used this word to give us birth and then left us to it. That he planted that word in us. God, the gracious giver, plants his word in us so that his word might take root amongst us. So that his word might grow in us. And in doing so, fulfill that promise from Jeremiah 31 that there will be a day when God's law is in our minds and his word on our hearts. That promise has come. God has graciously planted his word in us. A gracious gift that can save us from our evil desires, from our sinful acts, from the moral filth and evil that is so prevalent in us, James says. It can save us to live a new life in line with the righteousness that God desires. And we are called, verse 21, to humbly accept that word. We are to accept it humbly because we recognize that it's a gift. We haven't done anything to deserve to have this word planted in us. It is a gracious gift from the generous giver. And so we are to humbly accept it. And it will grow as we read his word, as we listen, and as we act. That word implanted in us will grow and grow. We as a church are Bible people because the word matters. The word matters, but the word isn't the end. The word is the means. And so what really matters is our response to the word. Because merely listening to this word is not enough, James says. And that's the first thing we're going to see this morning. Do not merely listen to the word. Let me tell you about one of my quiet times earlier in the week, and I want you to see if you can kind of relate to this. I read some words of scripture. I found them genuinely helpful. 10 minutes later, I tried to remember what I'd read. And it took me a staggeringly long time to dredge it out of my memory. 10 minutes later. I wonder if you've ever had that experience. My guess is I'm not alone here this morning to have had a time where I've read God's word, I've genuinely read it, I've genuinely found it helpful, but I've almost instantly forgotten it. Now, the ultimate aim of reading God's word isn't so we remember, it's that we're changed. But my inability to remember what I've read mere minutes after reading it shows something, doesn't it? It shows that, yes, I found it kind of helpful on a surface level, but I didn't truly take it in. Because if I had, within 10 minutes, I probably still would have been able to tell you what I'd read. Yes, I listened. But what I reflect on now, a few days later, is I merely listened. Nothing more. No deep heart connection, no life change. I expect all of us have had that experience as we've read God's word sometimes. And it is that danger that James warns us about. Look down at verse 22. Let me read it. James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. It's worth noting as an aside before we carry on what that verse doesn't say. It doesn't say, do not merely listen to what your pastor or your home group leader says, but do what they say. That is to say, any authority that I or anyone else in the church has to tell you what to do is only insofar as it comes from this book. Do not listen to me because of my position. Do not listen to your home group leaders because of their position. Listen and do what they say, only if what they say is from this book. That is our only source of authority. Do not merely listen, though, to the word. When it is the word, either directly or as someone speaks that word into your life, do not merely listen to it. As you read your Bibles at home, that I imagine many of you do, and that is a good thing to do, what does it achieve? I wonder if you've ever stopped to think about that question. What is it achieving? There is a danger that it isn't achieving very much if we're merely listening. There is a danger that all we're doing as we read our Bibles is moving a bookmark forward. The pages turn, the words get skimmed, but they haven't really been engaged with. No action comes off the back of it. No change, because all we've done is merely listen to the word. James wants us to see that is a foolish and dangerous way to approach the word. As foolish as the character he introduces us to in verse 23. So let's imagine this character. Let's imagine we're this character for a moment. I want to imagine you're getting ready in the morning. And before you leave the house, you just do that kind of quick mirror check on the way out. I don't know if you do that or not. Today, as you do that quick mirror check, you notice a few things. You notice on your cheek there's kind of a smudge of pen. You wonder how that got there, and you remember yesterday that your pen burst and you got ink all over your fingers. You must have touched your face by accident and not realized until now. There's still a bit of toothpaste residue around your lips. There's one bizarrely long eyelash that just sticks out really far. You've seen all those things. You paid attention. You step away. And then you leave the house as normal. That'd be foolish, wouldn't it? What was the point of looking in the mirror if you're not going to act on what you see? That would be utter foolishness. That person who looks in the mirror and does nothing about it is as foolish as the person who merely listens to the word. It's as foolish as the foolish builder from Jesus' very famous story. You know Jesus' famous story, the one who builds his house on the rock and the one who builds his house on the sand? The similarities between that and these verses are striking. Words from the screen are going to come up from how Jesus introduces us to the person who builds his house on the sand. Compare those to the words in verse 23. Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like. James says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like. The person who merely listens to the word is as foolish as the person who looks in the mirror and does nothing about it, is as foolish as the person who tries to build a house on sand. It is a dangerous and foolish thing to do, James says. Do not merely listen to the word. We get our Bibles open a lot. It might be easy to think, well, we do listen. I mean, we have our Bibles open so much. Surely we do more than merely listen. As I was prepping this week, I was really helped by a story that a writer tells. And let me adapt it to the 21st century and to Woody Rhodes. I want to imagine that the boss of your company goes away to start a kind of overseas venture and leaves you in charge for 3 months. But what your boss says is that she is going to send you an email every single Sunday night while she's away. And in that email, she's going to detail out what you and all the other employees need to do that week to keep the company running properly. 3 months come and go. Your boss returns from abroad. And the company is in an absolute mess. The staff aren't showing up. The clients have been ignored. The invoices haven't been paid. No one's cleaned the office even once. And so your boss calls you in for a meeting and she says, did you not read my emails? You reply, yeah, I did. I read every word, every day. In fact, what I did is every Monday morning I got the team together. I got one of them to read the email aloud. And then I spent a few minutes reflecting on what I thought that email was saying. In fact, we loved your emails so much that we set up a study group. We gathered every single Thursday. We read your email aloud together. We discussed the content. We talked about the major themes. We imagined why it was that you highlighted those particular things. In fact, as the weeks went on, we really got into it. We started comparing your later emails to your earlier ones and seeing if there was any development in your thought, to see interconnections between your emails. We feel like we really understood those emails. We understood them so much that we memorized certain sections. You can test us if you like. At this point, your boss would be utterly bewildered, wouldn't they? As they look you in the eyes and they ask you a simple question, why didn't you do what I said? And you reply, do what you said? That never occurred to us. We thought listening was enough. That would never happen, right? Let's be realistic, that would never actually happen. And yet, does that not ring bells? Can you see the similarities? Can you see the dangers? Sundays come and go, we hear God's word read and preached. Weeks go by in home group where we discuss, we listen, we talk. And yet there's a danger that it is mere listening, isn't there? That we don't do anything with what we hear. Let's be realistic and accept that not every sermon is going to be memorable. Not every home group is going to be life-changing. Not every quiet time leads to specific actions to do that day. Often it is a slow heart change as the implanted word takes root and it grows. But what is our attitude as we come to this word? Do we think listening is enough? Because if we do, James says you need to be warned because verse 22, that is deceiving yourselves. James says, do not merely listen to the word. Instead, James says, do what the word says. Do what the word says. That is his other option. That is the other response to this word. Where the implanted word is humbly accepted. Where that word takes root, where that word starts to grow. Where we do what the word says. The result of doing what the word says, verse 25, they will be blessed in what they do. James paints in verse 25 a second picture. Not of someone looking in a mirror and forgetting, but someone looking at something much, much more precious. James describes God's word in verse 25 in a way that we probably wouldn't naturally expect, that we probably wouldn't have written. He says, verse 25, whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. It's worth saying to our 21st century mind, that is actually a bit of a contradiction. Because the 21st century Western mind says that law and freedom are opposed to one another. Any act of law is inherently an act of restriction of freedom. And so law is only good where it's utterly necessary. That is the kind of instinctive Western mindset today. But that isn't the reality. Let me say first of all, that actually isn't even the reality with human laws. So take just one example. Criminalizing theft gives me the freedom to park my car wherever I want to. A restriction actually gives freedom. More so with God's laws. God's perfect law gives complete freedom. God's perfect law gives complete freedom. His word does lay boundaries of how we are to live, but those are boundaries in which true freedom can be experienced. As, for example, we're freed from the burden of trying to prove ourselves to others. God's word, God's law, is indeed the perfect law that gives freedom. And we are called to look at that law, to look at God's word as it is revealed to us and continue to do it. Because those who do it, James says, will be blessed, which is always true for those who live God's way. We are to do what God's word says. Mere listening is not enough, James tells us. Whether that's listening in sermons, whether it's listening in home groups, whether it's listening to Christian kind of extra sermons or podcasts, or whether it's in your kind of Bible reading day by day. Mere listening is not enough. We are to do what God's word says. Not forgetting what we've heard, but doing it. Reading our Bibles is about more than moving a bookmark forward. I think there's a particular challenge with how we listen today in our world. Because we live in a world where actually the exact opposite of verse 19 is pretty much true. Verse 19, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Can you imagine a more apt sentence for a Twitter age than verse 19? Twitter is a space that is defined by people who are slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to become angry, isn't it? Maybe we need to hear verse 19. As we engage with others in person or online, we need to hear these words. We need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. But here's why I think our world makes it particularly hard to be quick to listen. We are bombarded with a staggering amount of information, which means that mere listening rather than true listening is so much easier to do. The amount of information that flows over us on a daily basis, we cannot truly listen and act on all we hear. It's not possible. We don't act on every single thing we read. We are bombarded by information, whether that's articles or blogs or TikTok videos or whatever it is. We have learned to consume information incredibly fast, and that is at the expense of listening carefully and acting. Now, sure, that doesn't mean we should act on everything we hear. It doesn't really matter whether I act on what I read on BBC Sport. In fact, there normally isn't an action that follows that. When it comes to God's word, there is a danger that we read it with the same way we read everything else. That is, we read it quickly, we try to digest it as fast as we can, and then we move on, because that is how we've been trained to consume information. James says no. Be quick to listen. Slow down so that you can listen properly, so that you can then do what God's word says. That might mean, actually, you need to change your habits a little bit. Because an important question to ask yourself is, am I consuming Christian content in a way that helps me to do, not to merely listen? That might mean, and I say might, you need to change where or when or how you read your Bible at home. Maybe if you're actually honest with yourself, you're much more likely to take something in and act on it if you read it in print rather than on your phone. I think it's a particular danger that we read stuff on screens faster. It might mean that you know in yourself that you listen to something better if you do it sitting at a table rather than lying in bed. Maybe you need to change where you read God's word. It'll look different for each of us. I'm not telling you where you should and shouldn't sit and how you should and shouldn't read. But the aim is the same for all of us, isn't it? We need to read God's word in a way that enables us not just to merely listen, but to do what it says. We are to not just listen. We are to do. James, in the weeks that come, is going to show us lots of different things we are to do. The kind of specifics of that application is going to come in the weeks that follow, but he starts by giving us some headlines. That's what he does in verses 26 and 27. Three major headlines. Three major marks of a single-minded life. A life that does what the word says, that a life that is not deceived. And the three marks are this. Firstly, verse 26, restraining the tongue. Verse 26, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves. And their religion is worthless. We're going to see much more about the tongue in chapter 3. Those words are a challenge for all of us, aren't they? Keep a tight rein on your tongue. Jesus reminds us that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. An unrestrained tongue shows that we have an unrestrained heart. Not a heart that is shaped by the implanted word. We are to restrain our tongues. That's one mark. The second is caring for the needy. Verse 27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. We see much more of that in chapter 2. But James is telling us now that those who say they care about God's word but don't care about the needy in their midst are hypocrites. They are deceiving themselves. They are saying that other people matter, but they are not acting like it when those most in need are around them. And thirdly, he tells us that we are to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. which he's going to come back to in chapter 4, where he shows that friendship with the world is the same as enmity against God. He says you can't be friends with both. You have to make a choice. James says someone professing to be religious, that is professing to be a Christian, but not living in line with these three things is deceiving themselves. We'll come back to those three things in more detail in the week to come. But he starts with a little warning just to say, if you're not doing these things, you are living double-mindedly. You are at risk of being rejected by the one you claim to follow rather than accepted. So, James says, do what the word says. Do not merely listen to it. And just recognize that you might be here this morning looking into the Christian faith. And it might be actually that at this point, you've been listening so far, thank you for doing so, and you might be at the point where I've basically confirmed all your deepest fears about what being a Christian is. That is, I've basically stood here for 25 minutes and told you a lot of things you've got to do. And that is all you think Christianity is. It is just about doing. Let me say that couldn't be further from the truth. Christians are called to do certain things. That is right, and that is what this passage tells us. We are only called to do in light of what Jesus has already done. Jesus is the only one who perfectly did what the Word said. Jesus is the true Word of God. He became flesh. He is full of grace and truth. And he did all that to give us new birth by the Word that he has implanted in us. So if you're here this morning and you do not know him, please don't start by trying to do what the word says. First, accept that word. Come to the word. Come to Jesus. Let that word of truth, that gospel that saves, the good news that he died for sinners, let that be implanted in you. Humbly accept that. And that is what is the starting point to do these things. For those of you this morning who have that word already implanted in you, the command is simple, isn't it? Do what the word says. Do what the word says when it's easy, and do what the word says when it's hard. Because James says it is not enough to be a Bible person. It is not enough to read the word every day. It is not enough to look attentive and take notes on a Sunday. It is not enough to listen to extra sermons midweek. It is not enough to prioritize home groups without fail. All those are good things to do, but mere listening is not enough. We are to listen, then act. James says. If James were here and you gave him a kind of really binary would you rather question, and the question was this, would you rather that people did a quiet time, read God's word every single day, four chapters a day without fail, got through their Bible every year, or would you rather they read their Bibles once a week but actually did what it said? I know which one he'd choose. I can say that with a pretty high level of confidence. He would rather you do what it says. Hey, that doesn't mean only do one quiet time a week. The more the better, right? But it does mean acting is more important than just listening. We are not called to be mere listeners. We are called to do. Not because that makes God happy with us, not because that secures our salvation. No, Jesus and the new birth given to us by grace by the Father has already done that. But because that is the life you are called to if you're one of God's people. Might be this morning, you're feeling quite convinced you need to change your approach to God's word. There are many ways you could do that. Before we close, let me just give you one way to maybe change your approach to God's word this week to enable you to better do what it says. Maybe whenever you come to God's word, whether that's kind of on your way to church on a Sunday just before church starts, on your way to home group, or each day at home as you read it, maybe your typical thing to pray is, Lord, help me to understand what I read. That's a good thing to pray. We need the Spirit's help to understand. Why not this week, to mix it up, either in addition or instead, why not pray this? Lord, help me to do what your word says. Bring the words that I read now into my mind later today at the point at which I most need to hear them. So that with God's help, you do what his word says, rather than merely listening to it. Let me lead us in prayer. Our Father, our prayer this morning is simple. Help us to do what your word says. Help us to not be mere listeners, but doers, we pray. Amen.